Inside on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Insight Advertising, Marketing, and Communications, a full-service ad agency, InsightCubed.com, and the elite training team at Taro International. Achieve, lead, outclass at Taro.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Well, a plan to spend nearly $500,000 remodeling the interior of the newest state office building in Des Moines is moving forward despite budget cuts that are hitting an array of state programs and services, from health care to education to agriculture. A board spokesman told the AP the project will improve its customer service. One of the cuts to the state budget is the Leopold Center for Agriculture, and farmers have other fears when it comes to tougher immigration standards and getting crops from vegetables to grapes harvested this year. Fruit and vegetable growers, dairy and cattle farmers, and owners of plant nurseries and vineyards have begun lobbying politicians at home and in Washington to get them to deal with immigration in a way that minimizes the harm to their livelihoods. Well, this week, the Iowa Broadcast News Association gathered in the Des Moines Metro for their annual education, scholarship, and awards event. Taking part in the educational activity and the keynote speaker at the banquet was legendary talk show host Jim Bohannon from Westwood One and The Jim Bohannon Show. I sat down with Jim for a few moments toward the end of the evening, and we talked radio. You, sir, are a legendary broadcaster. Jim Bohannon, what the heck does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know, Mike. I swear to goodness, I'm not even sure what that means. Maybe it means you've been around for a long time. You haven't died yet. Although some people, of course, do acquire legendary status after the eulogy. I'd much prefer it this way.
You were here at the Iowa Broadcast News Association encouraging individuals to stay true to their roots and also use positive interview tactics. Talk a little bit about that, would you?
I think it is important that we try to make interviewing more than just this is all about me, more than just a chance to play gotcha, more than just a chance to be confrontational. Ideally, an interview ought to be the eliciting of information about something or someone, and I would like to see more of that. I'm not sure that this will happen, but I'm in favor of it.
You've done literally thousands of interviews in your lifetime. Can you give us an idea of what makes a great interview?
A great interview, first of all, you need a curious and informed questioner who listens to what the other person is saying. And in terms of the interview subject, I think a great interview is helped by someone with a point of view and with perhaps a bit of attitude. It doesn't hurt to have a little chip on the shoulder. And those would be the qualities that I would look for.
And you came out of Lebanon, Missouri, of all places, which is not a bad place whatsoever. And it's taken you to how many radio stations are you heard on today?
I'm heard on over 500 all across the country, so that's pretty special.
What got you from Lebanon to 500 stations?
Oh, well, there are a few intermediate steps there. From Lebanon, I went to Springfield, Missouri, and I was a rock and roll disc jockey with a stack of wax and a pitch to click. Met the Beatles and the Dave Clark Five and James Brown and the like. And then I did news at KWTO in Springfield. And then the Army called, and after an expense-paid vacation in Southeast Asia, including the Tet Offensive, came back to this country and wound up in Washington, D.C., where I worked at a couple of all-news stations. Then I went to Chicago, worked at WCFL, and it was while I was there that I was tapped first to be a fill-in for Larry King in 1981. Then I was hired by the Mutual Network, principally to fill in for Larry, and I've been with them and their successor company, Westwood One, ever since.
When we talk about radio being a theater of the mind, how much do words matter?
Words matter a lot. Words, especially in the position of someone influential or powerful, they carry a lot of punch. A great story about that. Dwight Eisenhower, when he was president, had a putting green on the south lawn of the White House. Loved to go out and chip golf balls. One day a squirrel ran across the green and hit his ball. And Ike, being a former soldier with a salty tongue, said, blankety-blank squirrels. Thought nothing more about it. The next day, he looks out on the south lawn. There are Secret Service agents running everywhere. Some of them have nets. Some of them have traps. And he knows that it's only been a few years since terrorists tried to kill President Truman at the Blair House right across the street from the White House. He summons the Secret Service. What's going on? What's happening? And they said, well, sir, they're trapping squirrels. And Eisenhower had to be reminded of what he had said. He said, well, wait, you cursed the squirrels. We're trapping them and releasing them in a place called Rock Creek Park in Washington. Words matter, especially from someone influential, and people ought to remember that.
As part of the news media, Jim Bohannon, you have been through multiple individuals who have occupied the White House, and you just brought up the White House. Currently, much of media is under suspicion for anything from fake news to exaggerating the news. How do we as broadcasters attempt to either rectify that situation if it's true or fight back?
I'm not sure how you can do much besides your job. Just continue to maintain standards and report what's happening. It would be nice if there was a way to fight back. I'm not sure exactly what that would be. It would be nice if there were a magic wand, but unfortunately, the messenger will often be blamed for the message, and that pretty much goes with the territory, I'm afraid, Michael.
Final question, my friend. Is there a place in the future with all of this technology and all of these things that we can get on the internet and all of this video and all of these ways to gather and disseminate news? Is there still a place for radio?
Very definitely there is such a place. As long as people are doing activities that will at all distract their eyes from something, as long as they must pick up information through their ears, there will always be a place for radio. And as long as we have people who can engage themselves in the theater of the mind and people who can provide the kind of listening experience that will satisfy that, then yes, there will always be a place for radio.
Jim Bohannon, thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
That again was Jim Bohannon, a legend in talk radio and kind enough to spend some time with us. You can catch more of the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One by searching for his affiliate radio partners. When we come back, radio personalities and news people join us. Sue Danielson, who's been with WHO Radio for over three decades, and she's a former Iowa Broadcast News Association Jack Shelley Award winner. She'll join us next to talk about Jack Shelley and her introduction of the 2017 Jack Shelley Award winner, Trent Rice, of radio station KASI in Ames. That's next here on the Business News Hour.